Good morning and welcome to the broadcast of the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. To help you follow along, the order of worship for today's service is available under the radio tab at our website, zionlcmscf.org. The Lord bless you today through the hearing of His Word.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome. Now, this is Holy Cross Day that we'll be celebrating in our service today. We'll also be installing our Sunday school teachers and substitute Sunday school teachers. We'll have them come forward after the sermon before the prayer of the church. So I'll let you know at that time. Allow me to announce our hymns for today. We are following Divine Service Setting 4, which begins on page 203 in your hymnal. Opening hymn is 467, Awake My Heart with Gladness. Hymn of the Day, 454, Sing My Tongue, The Glorious Battle. Distribution hymns, 425, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. 560, Drawn to the Cross, Which Thou Hast Blessed. 532, The Head That Once Was Crowned with Thorns. Closing in 922, Go My Children. And just a couple other announcements. Tuesday at Lutheran Fathers Conference here. Welcome, everybody's welcome to come if you're available. And there's no council meeting Tuesday. We had that, so those of you missed it, missed all the fun, just have to wait till next month. But, anyway. Let's begin with our opening hymn.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ to the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism, you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Turn to the yellow insert and sing together the intro.
Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done all.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Merciful God, your Son, Jesus Christ, was lifted high upon the cross that he might bear the sins of the world and draw all people to himself. Grant that we who glory in his death for our redemption may faithfully heed his call to bear the cross and follow him who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for this Holy Cross Day is from Numbers chapter 21. From Mount Hor they set out by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who's bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We turn to the yellow insert and sing together the gradual. From 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning of a thwart." Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God, through the folly of what we preach, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, the weakness of God is stronger than man. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand in honor of the gospel. Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus, and Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd that stood there heard it and said it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. This is the gospel of the Lord. Together we confess our faith is written in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures, and descended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ.
Amen. Please be seated. Today is Holy Cross Day, so today we look to the cross of Christ. The word of cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, he allowed himself to be humiliated and tortured and hung on the cross out of love and mercy for his creation. In his creation, his crucifixion on the cross is central and the most significant event in history. Our lives are tied to the saving work done on the cross through Jesus Christ. It's made us his own children. It's redeemed us. It's rescued us from death and from eternal damnation. We have this brass image of Jesus hanging on a cross. We do this on purpose. If the crucifix up on the altar, it speaks. If I can say it that way, this image speaks. It confronts us in our sin, and it confronts the world in its sin. Folly to those who are perishing. Folly, a man dying on a cross, the image of a man dying on the cross who died 2,000 years ago. But to us who are being saved, the power of salvation. In your baptism, you encountered the cross of Jesus Christ. You were transformed by it, joined to Christ in his death on the cross. You died, sins washed away, removed, placed on him. You were made clean, made pure and holy by his blood, the blood he spilled on the cross, so that you may live in him and with him into eternity. You changed. You were changed by the power of the cross. The cross did not change. It never will. The cross of Christ is immovable. And everyone eventually must contend with this event, this glorification of God. To accept it as we do means death to self, life in Christ, freedom from sin, freedom from the devil, deliverance from death, unmerited forgiveness, unconditional love from God. It means not only acknowledging the one true God, but also willingly, lovingly trusting him, obeying him, following him, to reject it. Means you reject the love of God for you in Christ Jesus, to discard this free gift, to discard everlasting life purchased by the precious blood of Jesus, and to remain enslaved to sin and the devil, and to defy God willfully, disobedient, to remain outside of his mercy, to ultimately suffer eternal torment. There are no other alternatives. The word of the cross is divisive. Speaking of his crucifixion, Jesus said, "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. You think that I've come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." The cross confronts and divides. And it won't go away. Individual voices can be silenced. Individuals can be shamed and canceled, intimidated and threatened. But the Lord will raise up new voices. He'll raise up the stones themselves. If the word of the cross won't go away, and you have to contend with it again and again, you could consider what that might be like. You could try to ignore it. And perhaps you've done this in your life. confronted by the creator of the universe dying for you and your sins. So you try to ignore it, try to dismiss it. It's not relevant. It's not true, some say. You may mock those who believe it. It's foolish, ignorant. They're not that important. And it might work for a little while as you live in this delusion, but it won't go away. You drive by a church and you see a cross. You notice a necklace with a crucifix or a t-shirt that says, Jesus saves. You're dialing on the radio and scanning, bump across a Christian broadcast. You hear somebody saying a prayer in the name of Jesus. You read about Christians, hear about them, what they're doing, opposing abortion, helping unwed mothers, adopting unwanted children. You cannot ignore Christians because even the mainstream media regularly targets Christians as examples of foolishness, their foolish beliefs. So the word of the cross persists. And if you don't like it, what do? Well, you try to avoid it. Try to avoid the people who are talking about Jesus, what he did, what he taught. You don't want to be confronted by him and what this might mean for you. You don't want to be told that you're wrong. You don't want to be told that your life is based on a lie, that God does not approve of you, what you say, what you do. So when the cross confronts you, maybe through a Christian, your defense goes up. Who are you to judge me? What makes you right and me wrong? What is truth? How do you know? If they respond with kindness, gentleness, understanding, it makes it even worse. If they tell you God loves you, Jesus died on the cross for you, for your sins and the sins of the world, we're all guilty. We all need his forgiveness. This is a free gift. This forgiveness is free, except for the price of the Son of God. This is evidence of the love of God for you, how much he loves you. Well, that makes it even harder. So maybe you distance yourself from that particular family member, that coworker, try to avoid the friend, the neighbor who keeps bringing it up. But instead of the word of the cross going away, it becomes a target for you to attack. The rhetoric heats up because all you're doing is listening to people of like mind. And you got Jesus and the word of the cross, they won't go away. So maybe you determine to fight it. The people in your circles encourage it. Something has to give. You or the cross of Christ. But nothing you say or do can make it go away. Well, this can be a frustrating position to be in. Dear Christian, you know what it's like to be caught in sin. This happens every day. The word of the cross brings this to light in your heart, your mind, your sinful condition, your disobedience, defiance of God, your resistance. And so you confess your sins, you repent, so that you may receive the forgiveness again that Jesus won for you on the cross. It's not pleasant. It's humbling. It's hard. It's painful. So consider somebody who's never confronted this fully, this truth, this harsh reality of Jesus Christ crucified for you. Humanly speaking, we could say, wow, that's intimidating.
come to the reality, this reality that everything you believe is wrong, that you have been defying God willfully, and that you're responsible, accountable to God. You could say, who then can be saved? Well, for man it's impossible. For God all things are possible through Christ Jesus. Because in that confrontation with the cross, you have the power of salvation revealed on the cross. Christ is right there with it. He's giving life in the face of death, grace instead of justice, freedom from sin, unspeakable joy for those who have never known this reality, this unmerited grace of God. This we know, this we bring, this is there for them. And so we pick up our cross and follow Christ, lifting it up. You and I are confronted by the word of Christ every day. We can't avoid it, nor do we want to. The word of Christ, it not only speaks judgment, but it speaks the grace and mercy for those who believe. And the cross of Christ is holy because it makes us holy. Jesus is the sacrifice acceptable to God to atone for your sins. The blood he shed on the cross cleanses you from your sins. What Jesus did on the cross, then it comes to you now in the hearing of the word of the cross and the receiving of the fruits of the cross in his holy meal. The word of the cross comes to you to make you holy today. So when you come to church, you hear the word, receive his sacraments, confronted with the cross of Christ, you're transformed again by the cross. It doesn't change because it's changing you into the image of Christ, convicting you, putting to death that old sinful nature, give you forgiveness, life, salvation again, to give you peace and life again, hope, and strengthen your faith and your courage so that you may bring the word of the cross to others, the good news of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for them. So we are to bring this word of Christ to this world that's otherwise lost and condemned, that is deceived and distorted by the world, the devil. They are enslaved in their sins. They must contend with the cross. And you and I get to bring it to them. Consider the Old Testament reading today. Put yourself in Moses' position. They're grumbling. Grumbling about this amazing food that God provides. You know, it's worthless. God sends fiery serpents biting, killing them. But they repent. And they go to Moses. We have sinned. Pray for us. He prays. But God isn't going to take away the serpents that they wanted. But he does something foolish. Make a bronze snake, put it on a pole. Bronze image, put it on a pole. Okay, snakes are still biting. Same snakes as before. But when they bite, look at that pole. That's foolish. Except that God said to do it. And so they survived. Their lives were spared. They believed in the word of God. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. That serpent, fiery serpent, lifted up on a pole was pointing to Christ. You know this, right? It's most likely had a crossbar to hold the serpent up. It's death, it's sin, it's evil, the image. And yet that's how God is saving them. Well, this is what we have. We have the image of death, judgment, condemnation. We deserve to save us. Foolish. Those who consider themselves wise don't like their wisdom to be destroyed, but that's what it does. Those who consider themselves discerning in this world don't like their discernment thwarted, but that's what God does with the word of the cross. People don't like it. You heard about Charlie Kirk, the Christian commentator who was assassinated Wednesday while engaged in open public debate on a college campus, as he frequently did, 31 years old. I didn't follow him, but I did read and hear some of what he spoke on, and his conviction of the truth of God's word was evident, and his consistent confession of faith in Jesus Christ and his desire that all come to a faith in Christ was at the core, foundational to what he did, what he wanted to be remembered for, his faith, his courage and his faith. He was gracious and articulate, but not compromising. He would not compromise on what he believed to be true. And perhaps he was too effective. He had a large following. And though, you know, not a Lutheran, our differences would be evident if we put him up against our confession of faith. He gave this clear confession of Jesus Christ, crucified for the sins of the world. A desire that all come to a saving faith, the knowledge of the truth. And so through him openly debating on hard topics, wanting to have discussion with people who disagreed with him, encouraging debate as opposed to what he said would be the alternative, violence, when the debate stops, what's left? So he encouraged many, told them, find a Bible-believing church, go every week, read your Bible every day, live according to God's word, avoid evil, embrace good. Somebody didn't want that to continue, so they shot him, and he died, leaving his wife a widow, his daughters fatherless, parents grieving the loss of a son, many grieving his death, tragic. And yet, because of his confession of faith, we have the assurance of where Charlie is with our Lord Jesus. The Lord enabled him to speak the word of the cross boldly and publicly, and the Lord enables others, you included, to speak of Christ crucified to a world that needs to hear it. In Psalm 118, it says, for those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Jesus, speaking about his pending persecution, he says, this will be your opportunity to bear witness, you know, in the midst of this persecution. Settle it therefore in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth of wisdom, mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up, even by parents, and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you will be put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. We sang from the hymn, Awake My Heart with Gladness. I do want to review three of those stanzas. These hymns that we have inherited are great treasures, as you know. The world against me rages, its fury I disdain. Though bitter war it wages, its work is all in vain. My heart from care is free. No trouble troubles me. Misfortune now is play, and night is bright as day. Now I will cling forever to Christ, my Savior true. My Lord will leave me never. Whatever he passes through, he rends death's iron chain. He breaks through sin and pain. He shatters hell's grim thrall. I follow him through all. He brings me to the portal that leads to bliss untold, whereon his rhyme immortal I found a script of gold. Who there my cross has shared finds here a crown prepared. Who there with me has died shall here be glorified. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. I would like our Sunday school teachers and substitute Sunday school teachers to come forward. Get a stand here. Joanna, who you'll be teaching? What ages are you teaching? Third through sixth. Megan, you're a sub. Thank you. Susan, you're substituting. And Carol, who are you teaching?
Pre-K
through two. Well, thank you. Dear sisters in Christ, you are to be installed as, well, Sunday school teachers and substitute Sunday school teachers at Zion Lutheran Church, a work in which our Father in heaven has great joy. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your might. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Beloved in the Lord, you are to assist me, the minister of word and sacrament, in the instruction of God's people according to his holy word. You are to prepare yourselves for this work by your individual and corporate study of the word of God, and the faith drawn from it as it has been delivered to us in the small catechism. While holiness of life and obedience to Christ are expected of all members of the congregation, it is especially important that you show yourselves by word and example to be faithful to him in service and Christian devotion. In the presence of God and of this congregation, I therefore ask you, do you accept the position entrusted to you? And you promise faithfully to carry out your duties, trusting in the Lord and conforming yourself to his word in accordance with the faith of the Evangelical Lutheran Church. If so, then answer, I do. Beloved in the Lord, speaking members of the congregation, you've heard the promises of faithfulness spoken by these women. Do you, members of Zion, promise to support them in their work, to remember them in your prayers, and to work with them to the best of the abilities that God has given you so that he may be glorified and his work be done in our midst? If so, then answer, we do.
We do.
Sisters in Christ, I install you as Sunday school teachers at Zion Lutheran Church, In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty and Most Merciful God, enlighten and strengthen you in your service that you may be good and faithful leaders and teachers to the glory of his name and the salvation of his people. Let us pray. O Lord, grant to these your people the gifts of wisdom and discretion, kindness and faithfulness, so that they may effectively teach and guide, and grant to all your people a ready willingness to learn. Let the knowledge of your word be preserved and extended among us, so that all may know and praise you now and forever, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Go in the name of the Lord, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The Almighty and Most Merciful God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Thank you. Please stand for prayer. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For grace to proclaim the triumph of the cross throughout the world, so all would rejoice in the victory that love, which hate could not destroy, and that life, which death could not overcome, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the continued proclamation of the cross's power, that from this life-giving tree we would receive the gifts that preserve faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all pastors and servants of the church, that they may be enabled by the Holy Spirit to proclaim the wisdom of the cross before the world, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the households of this congregation, that all may live in love that issues from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the nations, that war, hate, and bloodshed would be overcome by peace, love, and justice, and for all who serve in our armed forces, that God would protect those who labor to protect us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have requested our intercession, especially Bob, Gabby, Vicky, Fred, Anita, Lois, Louis, Harold, Joan, Linda, Marla, Tim, Jaden, Rick, Greg, Missy, Lacey, Marilyn, Marlene, Kathy, Doris, Matthew, Mark, Erno, Jeff, Ethel, and the families of Dwayne, Dan, Bernard, Joanne, and Skip, that our loving Father would be near to them and grant them a happy issue out of their troubles. Let us pray to the Lord. For the worthy reception of the fruit of the cross this day, that through Christ's death we may walk the path to paradise and receive forgiveness, life, and salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the whole Christian church on earth, and thanksgiving for all the faithful who have gone before us, that God would bring us to share at last with them in the unending joy of his kingdom, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, with him, and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You may be seated as the offering is collected.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
Thanks to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising.
Thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue in Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Save up to 50% off gift certificates from local businesses with our new Chippewa Valley Big Deals Store. From food and dining to home improvement, pets, personal care, and lots more, save big at WCFW.FM. Just click on the Big Deals banner. Chippewa Valley Big Deals at WCFW.FM.